song this morning. Job chapter 1. Find that passage in your Bible. Go to the book of Psalms if you're getting used to your Bible. And turn back to your left. You'll find the book of Job chapter 1. November 1st. We've been having an emphasis this year on reading. And we've given you several books. One a month. I think there was one month where we gave you a book that spanned 2 months. And that's what we're doing this morning for the last 2 months of this year. We're giving you today, every household, a copy of Pilgrim's Progress. I can't think of a more classic book for a Christian than Pilgrim's Progress. How many of you have a copy already of Pilgrim's Progress in your home? See, that's not as many as you think. This is a classic book, okay? It's longer. It's 300 and a few pages. And it is not, I'm going to give you a warning, it's not the easiest book to read because it's written in Old English, the Old English language. But it is a story of Christian, how he gets saved and his walk of faith. And John Bunyan wrote this book on milk bottle caps in the Bedford jail when he was imprisoned because he would not take a license to preach. Men don't license men to preach. God calls men to preach. And rather than be with his family and with his ministry, he stood for what was right and was placed in the Bedford prison. They could shut him in, but they couldn't shut him up. This is not inspired scripture, but it is a tremendous book. And if you've not read it, I'm just curious. How many of you have, no shame, because it's not, how many of you have never read Pilgrim's Progress, okay? I'm glad we're giving it out. Amen, Alan, we talked about it. Should we give it out or not? So it's for the months of November and December, and we'll give it to you as before we leave today. Job chapter 1, and you know what? I'm just going to jump in here. Let me pray. Look at verse number 13. You know what? Let me pray, and then we'll get into it, okay? Normally we would stand, but I want to get you out of here on time today. Father in heaven, please speak to our hearts. Thank you for the privilege to have your book in our laps this morning, and I pray that its power will be evident in the service. I trust it. I trust the dear Spirit of God to work in our hearts. Please fill us, both speaker and listener, and have your way in this service and help people today. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. Yesterday afternoon, my wife and I stopped in to visit with Delbert and Pam. We had a nice time there in the room at the house where Pam is laying in a hospital bed. We talked seriously. We laughed. We prayed. It was a good visit, a wonderful time. But for me and Joyce, it hurt our hearts. You know, here is a woman, not terribly old, a little older, but not old, lying in a bed, unable to walk. She walked before. Was a busy, active lady. She's doing well in her spirit. I asked her yesterday, I said, Pam, when do you get blue? She said, I don't. And her spirit reflected that. She said sometimes she cries because the pain is so intense, which to some degree, the pain is a good sign that her body is trying to heal and restore feeling to her nerves, and the nerves burn, okay? The endings burn because they're trying to grow out, and the spinal columns at work there that's more involved than I can talk about and even understand. So to some degree, the pain is a good sign. But it just hurt to see her lying there, not knowing how long she'll be in that condition. They still think it's a virus, which, you know, viruses run their course. Now, some people say, you know, she can be back in 3 months. Others, it might take 2 years. And so, let me be real transparent with you. You know, while hurting for her physical condition, my wife and I also realized that this did not come into her life without passing God's desk. Without his stamp of approval. And unless you're a super Christian, and we're not, those type of things can cause the hurt feelings. And who are we really, who are we really hurt at? We're kind of hurt at God. We don't understand it. Can't wrap our minds around it. I can't put any kind of intelligent answer to why a woman her age, completely mobile, can't stand, can't walk. Every one of us has come to some difficulty. We've traveled through some valley. We've gone through some trial that has caused us to experience feelings of hurt. And I'm not talking about hurt feelings because something that was said by a family member, something said by a friend, maybe even something said by an enemy. I'm talking about hurt feelings because we know that God allowed the difficulty, and we also know that God could have prevented the difficulty. I'm just being honest with you. God could have prevented it. And that's what hurts. My wife and I flew to Austin, Texas on Monday to be at Capital City Baptist Church with Pastor Adam Thompson. And I told the folks Wednesday night, we saw Sierra and Jason Pixley. They're both Bible college students there. And they said, tell everybody hello. And they're having the time of their life. And, of course, the Pixleys have the time of their life wherever they go. And, you know, and I told Joyce on the plane, I said, we will see Gino. Many of you probably don't remember. Gino was here once. Gino Sharp. He did Ben's. He does a lot of the missionary videos that we see. He did Ben's video. Absolutely tremendous in that realm of filming, editing, so forth. And it's been overseas. But about, 4 or 5 weeks ago, during a torrential downpour in Austin, Texas, his wife is in a head-on car accident and her life is taken. 40s. 5 children. I think maybe 1 college student, some high school, some junior high. And I knew we'd see Gino, and we did. And I walked up to him, gave him a hug, and I just said, man, I'm sorry. I hadn't seen him. I'd texted him. When I found out the day it happened, the day after, I texted him, and he responded. And then toward the end of the meeting, Tuesday night, this taller than me high school boy comes up and, Pastor Angel, would you sign my Bible? I said, sure, I'd be happy to. Where are you from? He said, I'm from here. What's your name? And I forget his first name because I called his last name. It was Sharp. I said, I'm sorry about your mom. And he just, you know, had that look on his face. No explanation. Now, those things, and understand, you think about Pam, you think about Gino, others, there are people right here in this room who have relatives that are going through things that never happened before. And it's not that you're mad at God. I'm not mad. But maybe you're a better Christian than I am. I get hurt feelings once in a while. Why did this? This could have been prevented. This didn't have to happen. Did it? Are you with me? Okay. Now, Job was in a deep, deep trial that passed God's desk. It passed God's desk. Look at verse number 13. Look at what it says here. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine at their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. The Sabians fell upon them, took them away. They have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. If you know the story, this is when his trial on earth began. He loses his camels, he loses his donkeys, he loses his oxen, he loses his sheep. The rest of the chapter tells us this, he loses his 10 kids. That's the story of Job. Okay. That's verse 13. Now there was a day. But look back at verse number 6 Up in the chapter to verse number 6, the Bible says here, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them, and they had this conversation, and God in verse number 8 had said to Satan, have you considered Job, great man, loves me and is good, fears God, and escheweth evil? And Satan accuses Job, and then in verse number 11, God says, Satan, put forth thine hand now. Satan says to God, put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord says to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth. So God puts the power in Satan's hand to take everything that Job had. Here's my point, folks. Before the day in verse 13, there was a day in verse 6. Verse 6 takes place before verse 13. Where does verse 6 take place? Verse 13 takes place where? Earth. So before anything, before any trial begins, listen, it's approved. It has to pass God's desk. And so what it boils down to is that God approves it. It originates, maybe not the details, but it originates with God. God instigates it. Before any trial begins, it is approved. I don't know the exact day that Pam Britt's trial on earth began, but I know this. Before it began on earth, it had already passed God's desk in heaven. I don't know all the details of Bonita Sharp's collision. And now the trial that her husband and her children are going through. Gino said it's tough at night. It's hard at night. I don't know that exact details of that exact moment when her life was snuffed out here on this earth. But I know that before it was, church, it passed God's desk in heaven. Got his approval. Now, can I say this morning, this was not a trial brought on by Job's disobedience. This was not a trial brought on by his rebellion, by some kind of wild living or irresponsibility. No, you read verse number 8, God commends Job's behavior. He's a good man. This was a trial that God brought to Job, that God approved. It passed his desk. Look, no one knows why people go through the trials that God brings to them, that God originates, that God instigates. You know, people, be careful before you jump into judgment about someone going through deep waters. Be careful. The disciples did that in John chapter 9. Remember with the man that was born blind? And the disciples, the followers of Christ, were the ones that said to him, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? There's got to be a reason why he's blind. It's either his sin or his parents' sin. I love what Jesus said. He said, neither. Neither. Church, not all deep waters are brought on by sin. Sometimes deep waters and deep valleys pass the desk of God for no apparent reason to us. And that's exactly what happened with Job. He's living, he's serving, he's worshiping God, and yet here comes this horrible, deep trial, deep valley that God allows Job to go through. And then Job's three friends come to comfort him. Aren't they a blessing? One of the funniest statements, turn over to chapter 12. Turn over to chapter 12 in your Bible. One of the most humorous verses in all of Scripture is found in Job chapter 12. Look at verse number 1. And Job answered, his three friends were there. One of them just gave this long discourse. Okay, blah, 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 blah. And look what Job says. And Job answered and said, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. I love that. You know what? God help us. When you're gone, wisdom is gone. Does that verse not drip with sarcasm from Job? you're it. And as soon as you're gone, there's no wisdom left. Funny to me. Look at chapter 13, verse number 5. Job makes a great statement here. Chapter 13 and verse number 5. So these men, you know, they've been talking, and Job says, "Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom." So you know what? The wisest thing you can say right now is nothing. And folks, look, that's true. please be quiet, he says. Sometimes people just don't know what to say. And folks, sometimes your presence says enough. Okay? When I saw Gino, I said, "I don't know what to say." What are you going to tell a man whose wife was killed in a car accident? What are you going to tell him? Doing okay? You're not doing okay. He said, "Brother Angel, you don't have to say anything. It was enough that you texted and said, 'I love you and I'm praying for you.'" Sometimes, folks, that's all that needs to be said. "I love you and I'm praying for you." Okay? So he says, just hold your peace. That should be your wisdom. Not best. But then look at verse 13. Look what he says. Are you there? 13:13. Job says, "Hold your peace, let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will." He said, "Look, please be quiet. I want to speak in my own defense. People are going to say what they want to say." And that's what happens. Sometimes people are critical and they're judgmental in why you're going through a deep valley, and they have no idea why you're going through it. When you are hurting and people say dumb things, you just have to remember, some people speak before they think. That's what Job is saying. He said, "You know what? Just don't say anymore. Just let me alone. And you know what? I'll deal with it. Whatever comes my way, I'll deal with it, okay?" Some people, their sense of humor is twisted and trying to help. They unintentionally hurt. Told you before, I can remember out in Iowa when I was assistant out there, there was this person in the church that had been sick, been laid up in the house for I don't know how many weeks, had not been to the service, and wanting to get there. And I'm standing at the top. If you've ever been there to the church, there's this long flight of stairs. You come off the street and up this long flight of stairs to the auditorium. And I'm standing at the top of the stairs and beside one of the ushers or greeters. And the person who hasn't been in church for weeks comes through the door. And I, on the tip of my tongue is, "Man, it's great to see you." But before I could get it out, "We got a visitor today. Do you need a visitor card?" I wanted to smack him in the next week. Are you kidding me? Somebody hasn't been at church forever, you're going to tell them that? I think the guy was trying to help, but folks, that didn't help. And that's what Job is saying. He said, "Look, you know what, just be quiet. Whatever comes my way, I'll speak in my own defense. If people make dumb statements, that come what it's going to come my way, I'll handle it." Look at verse 14. "Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in mine hand?" Now that is quite a state, quite a question there, folks. You know what she's saying? Job could not figure out why God had allowed this to come to him. Now listen, he hurt so badly physically, was in so much pain. Don't forget that not only did he lose all of his livestock, all of his children, then he lost his own health. He had boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet that hurt so bad. He sat in an ash heap, took a clay pot, a piece of a clay pot, and scraped his boils. He is in horrible pain physically. And he says, "This pain hurts so bad, I want to tear my own flesh." It's just like, that's severe pain. Tremendous pain. But then listen, he hurt so bad emotionally that he wanted to take his own life. And put my life in my hand. It's one thing to deal with the external pain that comes to the physical body. It's something altogether different to deal with the pain that's in here. Are you with me this morning? When it hurts so bad. Emotionally. And by the way, you know what? Why would God allow this? This emotional hurt that comes from trying to figure out why God approved this hurts worse than the physical pain. In fact, that kind of emotional pain can come when no physical pain exists. The emotional pain of knowing that what I'm going through passed God's desk. Why? What have I done? Why, God, why are you angry at me? With us. It's an emotional pain. And that's what Job is saying. He's saying, man, I was so physically in pain, I could just want to take my teeth and tear my own flesh. And I was in such emotional pain just from trying to figure it all out that I wanted to take my own life. Verse 15 is where I'm going to draw two lessons from this morning. I want you to see, first of all, that Job makes a great statement. So here he's in the middle of all of this, and he says in verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Man, that's powerful. I am going to trust God, even if what he allows in my life kills me. I am going to trust him. Understanding is impossible. Explanation is impossible. But folks, when understanding and explanation are impossible, trust is still possible. That's what Job is saying. I don't understand it. I got no explanation for it. Nobody can explain it. But there's one thing that I can do that is possible. I can trust God. And can I say, church, it was important for Job to say that. We know his friends were listening. His wife was probably listening. And she needed to hear that from her husband. It was necessary for them to hear Job make that kind of statement. But can I tell you something else? I believe it was also necessary for the devil to hear Job say that. You're not getting the best of me. You're not getting the best of me. I believe the devil was nearby, don't you? The devil was the one that got the approval from God and then brought the thing to earth and started killing all of his animals and his children. The devil was responsible for all that. So he's just lingering somewhere in the shadows. He's just waiting to hear Job curse God. He's waiting to hear Job renounce God. That's what the devil expected. That's what he believed. That was his accusation. Take everything away and Job will curse you. So he's just waiting for it. Just waiting for Job to say it. Lingering in the shadows. So he's lurking around. Waiting for Job to come up with something like, I've served you for years. I've worshipped you daily. I've offered sacrifices and dozens of animals and worship to you. I've obeyed you. I've taught my kids to fear you. I've tried my best to live holy and honestly for you. Now look what I get for all of this. That's what he's waiting to hear. That's what he expected to hear. But that's not what he heard. And here's the thing you got to understand, church, said this before. Instead, he hears Job say, honey, friends, if God kills me, I'm going to trust him. You have to remember, church, that Satan is not omniscient like God. He is wise, but he's not all-knowing, so he cannot know what we are thinking. He can't know what Job was thinking, but he can hear what we say. He could hear what Job said, and Job said a mouthful. What do you think happened to Satan when Job came out with that? What else can I take? I can't take his wife because God said I couldn't take his wife. So where do you see that? Because God told Satan he couldn't touch Job's life. Yeah, well, that's Job. No, that included his wife, because these two shall be one. I can't touch his wife. All of his kids are gone. All of his livestock is gone. What else can I take? Well, you're still going to trust him? Oh, yeah. It's good for us to make that kind of statement in times when we are hurting in the fiery trial. It's good for our spouse to hear it. It's good for our kids to hear it. It's good for our grandchildren to hear it. It's good for our parents to hear it. It's good for our friends to hear it. It's good for the devil to hear it. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. By the way, can I say something else? It's also good for us to hear it ourselves. Self, you're going to trust God even if he kills you. See, why is it good for us to hear? Because our minds need to say it because of the emotion that's welling in our hearts. Our head needs to lead our hearts. When our hearts starts leading our head, that means we're led by emotions. And people, do you know how badly you and I can get off course if we are directed by our emotions? We cannot let emotions rule in times of deep valley, deep waters, fiery trials. Our emotions are bouncing around like a pinball. And I just lost half of the crowd, the young people especially. They don't even know what a pinball is. We used to have these machines, guys. You put a quarter in it, 50 cents in it, you pull the little lever and all these balls came out and you pull one, bing, 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 bing. Yeah. When our emotions are bouncing around like a, what could I say to this younger generation? Like a pinball. Seriously. When our emotions are bouncing around like that, our thoughts have got to be centered on truth. Truth. So he says for the benefit of his wife. He says for the benefit of his friends. He says for the benefit of the devil. He says for the benefit of himself. If God kills me, I'm still going to trust him. That is a great statement. A great statement. But now wait a minute. The second thing is more important. Because in the second part of the verse, Job makes a great commitment. This is critical. Look at this last half of the verse. In the first half, he makes the great statement, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And then he says, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. You know what Job said? Look, I lived for the Lord before this trial. I'm going to live for the Lord in the trial. I'm going to live for the Lord after the trial. I'm not going to allow this hurt, this bewilderment, this unexplained difficulty to change me in my worship of God. I lived my life for God before. I'm going to maintain that same way of living now. That's a commitment. I'm not changing. I'm going to stay the same. You know what that kind of commitment says? It says, even if God kills me, I am going to trust him. Wait a minute. I thought you said that was Job's statement. Yes, but his commitment was in tune with his statement. Sometimes what we say and how we live don't match up. But when Job committed to maintain his ways, his actions were saying the same thing that his words were saying. And can I tell you, church, living always says it louder and clearer than talk does. Walk always speaks louder than talk. You know what? In a time of fiery trial, unexplainable trial that comes into my life, your life, things that we can put no reason to whatsoever. A spouse hears their mate say, "I'm going to trust God anyway." Then the spouse watches their mate maintain their same worship of God and their same service to God. And the spouse sees that what my mate said and how they're living add up. That's powerful. Children hear parents say, "We're going to trust God anyway." Then they watch as dad and mom continue to worship and serve God in the midst of the hurt. Parents hear their kids say that they're going to trust God anyway. Then they watch as their own flesh and blood children stay faithful through emotional pain. That's powerful. Friends hear a friend proclaim that they're going to trust God anyway. And then they watch as that hurting friend continues to put God first in their life. That's powerful. Satan hears one of God's children testify that in the midst of emotional and even physical pain and hurt, they're going to trust God anyway. Then Satan watches as that person lives up to what they say. That's powerful. It was a great statement. It was a great commitment. There will be times in life when in trusting God, we feel hurt. When trusting God brings emotional hurt into our lives, when we don't understand, we don't get it, it is in those times, it is vital to make a statement of trust and show a commitment of trust. When he said, "I'm not changing how I worship my God," that was a commitment to trust God, not just say it. Luke 24, verse 4, don't turn to it. Some people get hurt trusting God. They give up on serving Him. Luke 24, 21, you got those two people walking down the road to Emmaus. Some people believe they were husband and wife. Probably were. And their faces are long and they're all blue. And Jesus, who has just risen from the grave, disguises Himself. Doesn't disguise Himself. Their eyes are so filled with hurt, emotional distress, that they can't even recognize Christ. And Jesus says to them, "Why are you so sad? Why are you blue and depressed?" And they started talking. And this is what they said: "We trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel." That's past tense. "We trusted that it had been." We thought, we really believed that He was the Messiah. We trusted Him, the one who has come to redeem Israel. We really believed that. You know what they're saying? Now we don't. His body's gone, and we don't know where He is. They were hurt. They were on the brink of turning from their faith in who Jesus said He was. And you know what I say? Thank God Jesus was beside them to help them. Because the devil was no doubt lurking in the shadows, ready to pounce on their hurt and turn it into something much worse. Failing in their faith. And people, that's the thing that the Lord is concerned about. That's what He told Peter. "Peter, you're about to go into a fiery trial. Satan has desired to have you, but I've prayed for you that your faith fail not." I don't want your faith to fail in the trial. And their faith was failing, and failing fast. And Satan could have just jumped right in and put his foot on their neck and snuffed out their faith. But Jesus was there. And you remember what the Bible says happened? That Jesus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures, those things concerning Him. Do you know what Jesus used to help that couple whose faith was failing in a time of difficulty? He used the Word of God. And do you know what will help you? Oh, yeah. in time of difficulty when you can't figure it out, and there's no reason and there's no explanation, and you start to feel, because you're human and you have emotions, like, this is not fair, God. And you get hurt toward God, you better run to this book, because your enemy is lurking in the shadows to pounce on you and snuff your faith out to ashes if he can. And he won't be able to if you put your nose in this book right here. And that's exactly what happened as Jesus gave the scriptures. I was in Texas there, and I had spoken with Gino, and they had lunch in the little lunchroom there after every service, morning and evening, and he was there, had his camera, and I'm going to tell you, he wasn't running around with a big smile on his face. His face was long drawn. Do you blame him? He's lost his wife. But he's got his camera. He's doing his thing. He's filming and taking pictures that he's going to use for a video from the missions conference. And everywhere you look, there's Gino. Everywhere you look, there's Gino Sharp. What's he doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's making a statement with his commitment. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And he's not just saying it, he's living it. And by the way, I guess, Delbert's disappeared since Pam got sick, right? I think he's sitting over here this morning. I think he drove his bus this morning. I think he was here last Sunday. Sometimes he cries in church. I can see him from up here take his hanky out and wipe his tears. But he's still living his faith in God. He may not be able to explain it, his wife's sickness, understand it, and maybe in the quietness of his heart, maybe I shouldn't be speaking on his behalf, but maybe in the quietness of his heart, there have even been times when he wondered, what are you doing? But it seems to me like he settled, though he slay me, I'll trust him. And I'm going to live it. Make a statement and back it up with commitment. If it kills me, I will trust in him, and I will continue living for him in spite of the hurt, the pain, the not understanding. What the title of this message is, I didn't give it to you on purpose. Remember show and tell as a kid? Where you brought something in to school and you showed it and told about it. This is opposite. This is the opposite of that. This message is tell and show. Make the statement. Make it for your wife. Make it for your husband. Make it for your kids. Make it for your parents. Make it for your friends. Make it for the devil. Make it for yourself. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And then you know what? After you've said that, show it. Show it. I'm not changing anything. Nothing. It's called tell and show. Tell and show. Let's pray together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. I'm thankful that we can run to it. I'm thankful that when we need help, we can find it in your book. And I just pray that you'll take your word and minister to hearts today as only you can. It's not about me. It's not about the message. It's about truth. It's about from your book. It's your book. It's your word. It's your power. It's your spirit working in us. And I pray that you'll work in our hearts this morning as only you can. And God, would you please help us when our deep water comes, when our deep valley comes. And it's not just Gino Sharp, and it's not just Delbert and Pam. I can say names right now sitting in this room, but I will not. People who are in deep valleys. Help us to make a statement of commitment. And help us to live that commitment. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message this morning, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. I was helped by this, challenged by it. I don't know how God used it. But how about you? Can I pray for you when I close? I already see hands up. Would you join these? I needed that. It helped me somewhere along the route. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Take your hands down. Now let me ask this question. Would there be anybody here today, you don't know for sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven? I didn't preach about salvation this morning, but I'm going to tell you something. That's exactly what happened to Delbert and Gene Sharp and Pam and all the others that go through deep trials, deep valleys. They're saved. They're God's children. And God allows these things in their life for His purpose and plan that we sometimes don't understand. But if you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved. You don't know where you're going when you die. That's where you need to start. If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven when you leave this world, we have people that can take the Bible and show you, men showing men, ladies showing ladies, how to know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Can I pray for you this morning? Not call your name, not point you out, but just pray for you. Nobody's looking. It's a private time. If you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven, would you just slip your hand in the air and say, Pastor, I don't know that. I'm just not sure. Say, hand in the air. God bless you. Somebody else. I'm not sure. I don't know. If you're here this morning and you came to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, be obedient in that area, now is the time for you to follow Him. You can get that done. You can head to the back where the baptism will take place. Brother Allen will meet you there if you came for that purpose this morning. If you came today and you're here and the Spirit of God spoke to your heart about this matter of trusting God in the deep waters, in the deep trials, even when you are a little bit emotionally pained at God, and if God helped you this morning, if He said something to you, take time to respond back to Him either here or in your chair, at this altar or in your seat. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As the lady begins to play the piano, the music starts. You obey the Lord this morning. If you're sitting in the back, you can make an altar out of your chair. If you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, now's the time to respond that way. But let God minister to you after hearing a message that He spoke to your heart through His Word. Let Him minister a little bit more personally in your conversation with Him. I don't think we're that spiritual as a people that we don't get our feelings hurt sometimes even at God because we just can't figure it out. Why would you be doing this? This had to pass your desk. So make your statement of commitment, make your statement of trust, and make your commitment of trust. If He kills me, I'm going to trust Him. And I'm going to live for Him regardless. The devil is not going to accomplish his purpose. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Church and the altar is a good place to let the tears flow. The Bible says that God sees our tears, puts them in a bottle. I don't understand all that, but I believe it. Though He slay me, yeah, I'll trust Him. And I'm going to maintain my way before Him in the spite of all. Father in heaven, I thank You for Your book. I thank You for Your truth. I pray, God, that we would allow this to sink in. Lord, there's probably a lot of folks here this morning. They're not in a trial. Many are. Most are not. But our day will come. And I pray You help our minds to run back to this truth found in Your Word. And may we pass our test as Job passed his. In Jesus' name, amen.